Since this is really a holy hour, I got some cards. Somebody, maybe one of you, offering a holy hour for priests. You may keep these, okay? All I know is that priests need all the grace they can get. Pray for us. And let's say it together, okay? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Offering a holy hour for priests, together. Oh my God, poor, weak, and adorable as I have come to spend this hour alone with you. My reparation for the priests who have forgotten that you are. Especially, dear God, do I offer this holy hour for the priest who at this moment needs it most. In praying for consecrated souls, help me to remember my own utter weakness, misery, and nothingness. Were not for your grace, I would be far worse than those for whom I pray. Oh my God, help those priests who are faithful, to those who are failing, stretch forth your divine hand, that they may grasp it as their support. And for those poor, unfortunate souls who have fallen, lift them up in the great ocean of your mercy, that being engulfed therein, they may receive the grace to return to your great, loving heart. Amen. Mary, seat of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I should tell you, I'm involved in various things for the church. I consider my principal apostolate working for priests. Taught them for 25 years and constantly working with them. They've fallen to pick them up. They're weakening to keep them standing on their feet and keep those who are faithful close to our Lord. And the price of being a good priest, my friends, is martyrdom. I mean every syllable. To be a good priest means to shed your blood, and much easier, shed your blood and collapse. Pray for us priests. If anyone knows where more of these can be obtained, I'm sure they can be put to good use.
Father, this is from Matthew. The young man that just converted, that was a Lutheran.
Okay.
That's for him. From him.
We were on lesson 10. No, we weren't. We're on page 10, lesson 3. And I'm told number 25. Just to make sure you know what our purpose is in having these holy hours. How's that? The purpose is not merely to learn a few more big words in theology. The purpose is to more deeply grasp with our minds what we believe, because only convinced people can convince others. And if ever in the church's history we needed convinced Catholics, it is surely today. 25. All the truths of Christianity are strict mysteries, false. To make sure we know what we mean by strict mysteries, strictly speaking, the word strict is not necessary, except that we talk about so many mysteries that we've added the adjective strict to distinguish, you know, mysteries in general from those that are called strict mysteries. I have given you, haven't I, the definition of a strict mystery. A strict mystery is that revealed truth which is rationally inconceivable before revelation. I repeat it. A strict mystery is that revealed truth which is rationally inconceivable before revelation and rationally incomprehensible after revelation. So a strict mystery is a revealed truth that is rationally inconceivable before revelation and rationally incomprehensible after revelation. It is therefore a revealed truth, something which is true because it conforms to reality. A truth is, or truth in general, is conformity of the mind with reality. God, who both knows himself, the first reality, and the world which he created, call it second reality, he surely has the truth. It's a revealed truth, however, and therefore cannot be naturally even conceived. No Plato, no Socrates, no Aristotle before Christ could even conceive of the Holy Trinity. And when our Lord, in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel, foretold the Holy Eucharist, and we're told that many of his disciples left him, they said, no matter how you translate their statement, they said, "This is too much. Who can believe it?" And Christ said that he was going to give himself, literally, physically, bodily, as a condition for remaining in his supernatural life. They left him. And that is the most fundamental test of Christianity. It is the mysteries of faith that, for those who want to be followers of Christ, must be believed. It is on that level that every single one of the heresies over the centuries originated. And even in God's providence, he made sure we'd have no illusions that what he was teaching, this is Christ, was strict mysteries. When, as we just said, many, not just a few, but many of his own disciples left him. And then, even after raising Lazarus from the dead, not only even after raising Lazarus from the dead, but because he raised Lazarus from the dead, the Pharisees said, "This is too much. If we let this man live, the whole world will believe in him." If a person does not want to believe a mystery, even raising somebody from the dead and not convince them. We need that. And the prayer we've said for priests, may I recommend saying it. Having taught so many priests, knowing so many, and knowing sadly enough who have given up their priesthood. One of my saddest experiences was struggling with a bishop in O'Hare Airport. We had lunch together, trying to bring it back to believe. I didn't succeed. This is the only, the only crisis in the Catholic Church. There is no other. It's faith. Faith in revealed mysteries. The faith of a priest to believe that he, when he leans over a piece of bread and pronounces the words, "This is my body," that then, having elevated the host, he's supposed to genuflect. And some no longer genuflect. No wonder, because they no longer believe. No secret. That's why we're here. Now there'll be some believers left. And I hope it's the present company. Number 26. The deepest humility required of a Christian believer is humility of mind. Indeed. And I call it the deepest humility because even though we commonly and correctly speak of humility as being in the will, that I submit, say, to someone in humility, in obedience. That's humility, all right. The humility of obedience of the will is necessary for us believers in Christ. But our deepest humility is not in the will. Our deepest humility is in the mind. Why? Because I can be humble in will for 1,000 reasons. Humility pays. Humility makes sense. That's basic Dale Carnegie psychology. You're a salesman. You want to sell something to a customer. And the customer asks some questions about, say, the car you're trying to sell them. Well, you don't tell the customer, "How dumb can you be?" No. You like it even stays to continue looking at the car. Humility is good business. But humility of mind, that's something different. And nobody sees it. In other words, when I accept on the Word of God, which is what faith is, when I accept on the Word of God what I do not comprehend, so I genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament. Some of you may have been there when, some first Friday ago, I gave a talk at Domino's Farm, and that in my notes, but I asked all the people there, "Well, do you promise?" I wasn't paid to say this. "Will you promise, no matter who does not genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament, will you promise that you will always genuflect before the Blessed Sacrament? Big stare from all the people. Everyone who promises, put up your hand. Some little soul putting up the hand. I put up my hand first. There are a few stragglers. I repeat. I repeat what I just said. By the time I finished my my request, everybody had their hands up. Teaching in Virginia, in the graduate school over there. And their directions were to have Mass before class. And I was instructed never to say Mass without a deacon at my side. So I had a deacon at my side. So the deacon and I went out to the altar. Came to the altar, and I genuflected. A bugger. Won't have a richer, won't have a rich vocabulary. A bugger didn't genuflect. So I stood on my knee. He still didn't genuflect. I looked up. He genuflected. If he had not genuflected, I would have told him to leave the altar. That's a scandal. I repeat, the deepest humility required of a Christian, and surely a believing Catholic, is humility of mind. And having taught so many Jesuits, over 600 of them, including my rector, in this house. They're smart. For some years I helped examine the candidates for the Society of Jesus. Look over their college records. If you had too many B's, we wouldn't take them in. He wasn't smart enough. Well, you get 30 intellectuals in class. They never asked a question. Never. They just made objections. The more gifted the mind is, the harder it is for that person's humility. But I don't get it. Oh, Buster, this is an article of faith. Then I'd ask them an answer. Theological students. And quite a few PhDs in theology because they get their doctorate before they came into theology. Having had a background in chemistry, I'd ask them, what's the formula of nitric acid? Mean nitric acid. What's the formula? You don't know. Oh. Most of what we know, we believe on faith. Most of it. And we'd be fools if we didn't accept it on faith. So what's all this standing in judgment on God? It's pride. 27. No. Is it? Yeah, the mysteries of faith are to be believed, comma, they are not to be put into practice. Anybody would say that's true should fast on bread and water for 40 days. But I repeat, it is not in the will. That's not the hardest part of our faith. The hardest part of our faith is in our minds. Take the sex mania to which our country is going, and it is maniacal. And one theologian after another questioning or denying the church's authority in, say, sexual matters. What business does the church have in the bedroom? Clever phrase. That's not the question. What business does God have in the bedroom? Except for God, there wouldn't be bedrooms. There would be men and women. But the faith it takes with a mind to believe that the church's moral teaching on chastity is, in our modern world, the most difficult adoration we have to practice towards God. Submitting our minds. Most people who are willing to believe, we had no great problem with the Trinity. Most of them don't even understand what we mean by the Trinity. Not to say comprehend it. Oh, but when the church's teaching touches on the moral order, then that same will that is unwilling to be chased tells the mind, you stop believing. Do you follow my logic? The will is a blind faculty. The will sees nothing. Nothing. We see with the mind. When we believe, we accept with our minds what God has revealed. What? We cannot comprehend. We take on God's word. All the books in the world, if they wrote exclusively on the subject of chastity, could not prove, finally, ultimately, why we must practice chastity. Many persuasive reasons. Like the chaos of AIDS in our country. But the basic reason why we are to practice chastity is because God says so. To submit our minds to the mind of God, telling us that we are forbidden to indulge in sexual pleasure outside of the sacred precincts, as we call it, of matrimony. You believe it. We go on. Number 28. Christian morality is founded on faith in revealed mysteries. Amen. And this is why there were so much, what word shall I use? There is so much problem with so many otherwise sincerely believing Catholics to obey the church's moral law. Why? Because we cannot really, really explain why we are to observe the moral precepts. The final reason, the fundamental reason, is faith, that God commands us to do certain things, and whether I understand why or not, He is God, and He tells me I am saved to control my sexual appetite. My wife is getting older. My secretary is still young. How many retreats? This year I'll be doing 4 retreats, besides others. But 4 full retreats. There are 72 rooms, and we have 72 retreatants. 2 of men, 2 for women. It began with the men. The wives complained. Where do we come in? Well, understandably, they convinced their husbands, who convinced yours truly, that we should also have retreats for women. So we're now having 2 retreats for men and 2 for women. And as you give retreats, whether men or women, a retreat, as you know, is a time when we're supposed to find out how we're doing, make an inventory, and be very honest with God. Make a list of the liabilities and the assets. And the liabilities, being human beings, you'll be heavily on the moral side. So why? This is the men. Why do this? Why do that? But I read in such and such a book. So what? I don't get it. So what? That's what faith is. Case nobody told you. Christian sacramental marriage is a mystery. And I hope you hear this again. And it's a strict mystery. You do not, you cannot fully explain why God, when He became man, should have insisted that there be one woman and one man forming one flesh until death. So it's founded on revealed mysteries. Say that again. Our moral life will be only as strong as our faith. Period. Close the book. Number 29. We believe with the will, we love with the mind. That's false. Part one is true. Pardon me. The whole thing is false. I want to be charitable to the one who made these quizzes. No. We believe with the mind and we love with the will. But by now you know our English language is so confused. You can say almost anything in English and justify it in the dictionary. Just before a race, one of my confreres here is a horse race fan. Going on 4 years now, he invited me to come with him. He said, John, I got the money for the two of us. We'll go to the horse race. I even get you some money to bet. Well, I'm making promises. He's almost given up. Once my conscience is convinced that I should do it, I will. Before the race, I just want to make sure that these doors are closed. Before the race, the horses are tied fast. Well, to whatever pole or stake. You know, they're tied to it. Then, I don't even know how they start a horse race. Does somebody shoot a gun, or do they shoot a gun? I wouldn't know. At any rate, so the horses run. And then they run fast. Two opposite words. Fast and fast. And this covers so many words in our English language. In the English language, you can hate a person whom you say, "I love you." Did you know that? Because hatred is despising somebody because you're so madly in love with yourself. So, no, we believe with the mind. And in fact, the English language is so poor in teaching our faith, as I keep repeating. And the main reason is that we make sure we have a good, clear, sound Catholic vocabulary. Haven't done it yet, but I would like to. Out of the Pocket Catholic Dictionary, to choose, say, maybe 1,000 words that every self-respecting, intelligent Catholic should know the meaning of. The word belief is the noun corresponding to the verb believe. It is not useful for teaching theology in the Catholic Church, because both believe and belief, but especially belief, has all kinds of other meanings. The single most devastating error of Martin Luther, who, as you know, started the Protestant Revolution, which has now infected the whole Western world, his most devastating error was to claim that belief is in the will. We believe with the will. These preachers on television, or the Sunday school preachers, or when they have a whole audience filled, thousands of people, do you accept Jesus as your Savior? Suppose you either stand up or even walk up. They call that an act of faith. It's not an act of faith if they are sincere and believe that Jesus is indeed their Savior. In the positive vocabulary, that means they trust. They hope that they are among those who are saved. In other words, in Protestantism, you do not believe with the mind. Some of you may know Dave Armstrong. Should be here for the class tomorrow night. Dave Armstrong is a convert. And he was a preacher before he became a Catholic. And when the Ignatian catechists converted him, they appealing to his mind. Well, last Wednesday, Dave brought to class some quotations from Martin Luther, translated from the German. I said, "Father, are these authentic quotations?" I said, "Sure, but I've never seen those before." I said, "Of course not. There are at least 6 volumes of Martin Luther that may not be translated into English. They are so obscene, so viciously obscene, you've never read anything more blasphemously obscene than the writing of Martin Luther. Never." From Martin Luther, "Jesus Christ, oh he," all kinds of glib words that Jesus is God, he would recite the Apostles' Creed, except off the word Catholic. "I believe the one holy Christian church." But Luther was a liar. He did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And the movie The Last Temptation of Christ was taken straight from Martin Luther. Only Martin Luther is much more obscene. I am saying this because we need to hear it. We believe with the intellect, and even though we have the verb believe, we don't even listen. We don't even have a verb going with our noun faith. Did you know that? We don't say I faith. I mean I faith. I believe. Clarity to know exactly what we mean when we say here, we have no choice. We believe. Got no choice. The Latin credo, or credimus, says what the church understands. We believe with the intellect, but most of the English-speaking world does not believe with the intellect. And we love with the mind. No. We love with the will. And remember the functions of the will. Who can finish the sentence? The capacity of the human mind to forget is? You don't forget that. So I keep repeating. We use the will. First, the will, and the will we have desires. Now, I might even begin by saying with the will we have impulses. Then we have desires. Then, if we use our free will, then we choose. So impulse, desire, choice. And if we keep choosing, then we love. And that's why you married women, having chosen to marry the man you did. Hard part of marriage is how many have told me, "Father, if I only knew what the Lord in His mercy spared you." My favorite definition of love is sustained choice. You keep choosing. And we choose not with the mind, but with the will. But the mind better have the truth. Otherwise, what's the will going to choose? The untruth. Something pleasant, masking is something which is good. Is everything pleasant? Good. now. Number 30, Christian charity is based on faith in the Holy Trinity. Yes, but my friends, you better know what that means. That's why, a few minutes before 10, I got away from dictating to come down and prepare for class. We were explaining, well, what we're doing here and taping the explanation, getting explanations in writing to be sent to Calcutta and then sent out to some 70 countries. By this, I can't believe it. Be a sinner, what a mild word. But God has given us, thank God for our faith. But hold on to it. If you die for the faith, thank God. And as you're expiring because somebody is killing you, your dying word should be, thanks, Lord, for the privilege of dying for my faith. The other day I got a telephone call. A priest told me about another priest, now in New York, but was in San Francisco, working with the Diocese of San Francisco, and a strong, outspoken critic of the homosexuals. Well, one morning he was leaving the rectory to go to his office, and I didn't tell you this story today. And he was getting into his car. There was a car pulled up in front of the rectory. This was early in the morning. Four men got out of the car, all with masks on. Each of the four had a machine gun. He fell on the ground. Believe me, he was flat on the ground. There's riddles. Both floors of the rectory. No human being could have survived in that rectory. She moved from San Francisco to New York. Homosexuals are vicious. Let me tell you, we're talking about the churches teaching and morality, right? They believe it. They do not comprehend it. They will believe it. Why? Because you believe that Christ is the living God. He founded a church, and what he taught, we believe, this church, to preserve what he first revealed. The church will last until the end of time, but not everywhere. We are planning a quincentennial. Did I tell you about this? Quincentennial election prayer. And once it is finished, I got a call from Washington last night, being printed. We're getting some big Catholic names to back it. But in the description, the statement says, we don't have to be a Jeremiah or an Isaiah to know how the days of America are numbered. Unless we give to God what belongs to God. Millions are giving to Caesar what belongs to God. Am I making sense? So is the law. Whose law? The federal law. Now, in circling the terms that best complete each sentence. How are we doing on the time, by the way?
Quarter to.
Quarter to. Let's cover, say, two or three, then we'll get to the questions. And I tell you what, we'll go for, say, let me get three more questions, depending on how long I spend on each question.